And we're celebrating that wonderful matching gift challenge victory there. $3,000 matching gift made to Covenant Network in memory of Pope John Paul II and in honor of Pope Benedict XVI. Thanks again to all those people who called in and made their pledges to help us get there. By the way, Zip, there is we've been told actually there is one dinner spot left.
Ah.
One space for two people. Is that right? One left? Yes? No? Maybe? There is one space for two folks available. So if somebody still wants to be a Covenant Network transmitter, you can get in on that movie and dinner night with Father Michael Witt, watching The Scarlet and the Black. And we'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. First, though, we are going to go to the phone and visit with Roy Shoman, who is a convert to Catholicism from Judaism. And he is the author of the very popular book, Salvation is from the Jews. Roy, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good. Jerry Usher here along with Zip Rezepa. Zip works at the station here, so nice to have you on with us.
Well, it's great to be here.
And we are talking about Catholic radio, among other things. But before we do that, maybe give a snapshot version of your own personal journey and what God has done in your life. It's pretty amazing.
Sure, I'd love to. And, of course, I'd love to express my gratitude whenever possible to him. So I was born and raised Jewish. My parents are German-Jewish Holocaust refugees. They both fled Hitler's Germany. I was quite a religious Jewish growing up and had a very solid Jewish education. Then I went to MIT, then I went to Harvard Business School, then I became a professor at Harvard Business School at the age of 29. And I had, at that point, in a sense, I was kind of on top of the world because I had achieved much more than I expected to achieve.
Right.
And in another sense, I was kind of at the lowest point of my life because all my life I had had a deeply religious nature and was very prayerful when I was younger. I kind of fell away from that when I got to college and got involved with the ways of the world. But I always felt like this tremendous thirst and hunger for knowing God and for knowing the real purpose in life. Then I kind of got distracted by the worldly ambitions and worldly successes. And then when there was nothing more to hope for in terms of worldly success, and yet there was still no meaning to anything, and that hunger was still completely unfilled, I was actually simultaneously in a state of very deep despair. And in that mood of sort of like there's no point going on because if this is all there is to life, it's not enough, I was walking in nature early one morning, and I received an extraordinary grace from one moment to the next. I knew I was in the presence of God, found myself very tangibly in the presence of God, looking at my life as though I were looking at it in His presence after death. And I could see in an instant everything that I would be happy about and everything that I would wish I had done differently. I saw in an instant that everything that had ever happened to me had been the most perfect thing that could have been arranged, coming from the hand of an all-loving, all-knowing God. That everything I ever did had a moral content, for good or for ill, which mattered for all eternity. And I saw that my two greatest regrets when I died would be all of the time and energy I wasted worrying about not being loved, when every moment of my existence I was held in a sea of love greater than I could imagine coming from this God. And the other great regret would be every hour that I wasted doing nothing of value in the eyes of heaven. So basically, I was jump-started onto the right track from one moment to the next. I knew everything that I had to know. The only thing I didn't know was the name of this God so that I could worship and serve Him. And so I remember standing there praying, "Let me know your name so I know what religion to follow. I don't mind if you're Apollo and I have to become a Roman pagan. I don't mind if you're Krishna and I have to become Hindu. I don't mind if you're Buddha and I have to become Buddhist, as long as you're not Christ and I have to become Christian." So He didn't reveal His name to me. But then every night before I went to sleep, I said a short prayer to know His name. And a year to the day after that initial experience, I'll give it a very short version and just say I had an extremely vivid and awake feeling dream of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She appeared to me. She said she would answer any questions I might have for her. I asked her four or five questions. She answered them. Then she spoke to me for a while. And when I woke up the next morning, I was totally and hopelessly in love with her, and I knew it had been Christ on the beach, and I knew that I wanted nothing more than to be as complete a Christian as I could.
Amazing.
Wow.
Was that a Catholic Christian to begin with?
Well, when I woke up that next morning, I knew I wanted to be a fully Christian. I didn't even know what the difference between a Protestant and a Catholic was. And all I could really do was look in the local phone book and find a church. But I had two things that led me fairly directly to the Catholic Church. One was I knew who the Blessed Virgin Mary was. I knew that she was only a creature, but I knew that she was so exalted a creature that she was by far the most exalted creation that God had ever created. And I knew the extent to which she was the channel of grace. So when I would go to a Protestant church, I would pretty soon ask the pastor, what about the Virgin Mary? And, you know, if she wasn't held in the regard that I knew that she merited, I knew it was no place for me. And that led me to the Catholic Church. I was also spending all my free time hanging out at Marian shrines, which were all Catholic. And whenever I was at a Marian shrine, very often there'd be a Mass going on. And without even knowing what was really going on, I really, really, really wanted to receive communion. I was actually annoyed and almost indignant that I wasn't allowed to receive communion. And in fact, the first time I asked a priest to baptize me, he said, "Why do you want to become a Catholic?" And at the time, I didn't even believe, I apologize for this, but at the time I didn't even believe most of Catholic dogma. But I figured I'd better tell the truth, and I said, "You know, I want to be baptized Catholic because I want to receive communion, and you guys won't let me unless I am." And I thought he'd throw me out for such a disrespectful answer, and instead he just nodded and said, "Aha, the Holy Spirit at work."
Ah, nice.
Wow. Well, this is an amazing story. Is this recounted in your book?
Yes, it is. It's like an afterword to my book. A relatively short version of the conversion story, 10 or 15 pages, is at the end of Salvation is from the Jews. You know, which is Ignatius Press.
You know, as I listen to your story, it's an amazing and unusual, unique journey. And yet, I would imagine there are points of it that reverberate in the hearts and minds of many people, that searching, that not knowing, that desire to know who God is and know it more fully.
Yeah. I'm convinced, look, I mean, God created us to know Him and to love Him, right? The only thing that's standing in His way from revealing the truth to everyone is our reluctance to hear the truth. So if the thirst is there, if the hunger is there, if the prayer, spoken or unspoken, to know Him is there, I'm sure He'll come through on His end.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know that from the Bible, too. You know, if you hunger or thirst for holiness, He will satisfy your longing, good measure, and flowing over. And
that's right.
We all should pray for that deep longing and that hunger. And, Roy, I guess the main theme of your book, Salvation is from the Jews. You know, we have talked about this even during this pledge drive about how, you know, and your good friend Rosalind Moss says this all the time, and that is to be Catholic is to be, in a sense, Jewish as well. And I know that you carry out, you preach that theme.
Yeah.
Talk about your book.
Okay, she's a little perhaps politer than I am. I would say the only way to be genuinely Jewish is to be Catholic. I mean, Judaism is all about the coming of the Messiah. That Messiah is Jesus. When Jesus came, He transformed the old covenant into the new covenant. He transformed the old sacramental system into the new sacramental system, which is only found in the Catholic Church. So the Catholic Church is the real Judaism. I mean, it's a legitimate continuation of Judaism. It's a fulfillment of Judaism. And I know that I feel, and I know that Rosalind feels, and I know that all the other Jews who have entered the Church feel, that we come into our Judaism, in spades when we enter the Catholic Church.
Yeah, I think Rosalind said that you coined the phrase Catholicism is the Judaism of the redemption. Is that your saying?
No, I think I say that the Catholic Church is post-Messianic Judaism.
Okay. Well, you know what this really tells me and tells all of us, should tell us, who have really only known Catholicism but not necessarily known our Jewish roots. You, as what Rosalind would call a completed Jew, have come to embrace Christianity. We have got to go back and embrace what came before us because it is so very much a part of who we are today.
And also, it's a tremendously faith-building for Catholics. I've found dozens, I mean, you know, the thrust of my book is to outline the way in which the Catholic Church is the fulfillment of Judaism and the role of Judaism in bringing about Catholicism and the way in which Catholicism is its fulfillment. And I've gotten dozens, if not hundreds, of letters and emails from Catholic, cradle Catholic readers who say it's had a tremendously positive effect on their faith because they see the universality of Catholicism. They see how it began, you know, began with the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden and was in some sense fulfilled through the Jewish covenant, you know, for the first few thousand years after that, and then came into its fullness in the Christian covenant, and then will be ultimately fulfilled with the second coming. And by looking at the role of Judaism in salvation history through this stream, one also sees the wholeness